Hello, and welcome to the Eve Reader Podcast. My name is Zendane, and this is episode 29, All These Lives Are Fit to Ruin. This was a hospital, that much was certain. Parian, lying on a soft bed, had been slipping in and out of consciousness. Sometimes there were people in here, talking in low tones and checking on the machines that stood next to his bed. Everything was white. The machines had fuzzy outlines, though that might have been his own eyes. There were tubes everywhere, gossamer strands affixed to his body like he was a string puppet at rest. Whispered words had drifted into earshot. Accident was one. Battleship was another. And Capsuleer, though even the whispers seemed to find themselves too loud at that, as if wishing they could emit the word in such a hush as would only exist in pure silence. At one moment, Parian closed his eyes for barely a second, but when he opened them again, he saw a man towering over him.
"My name is Salatin Foix,"
the man said, in a tone that implied that this was both grand news and something Parian should have known all along.
"You are going to give me answers, crewman."
Parian tried to say something, but found his voice had dried up. There was a small hiss, and the parched skin in his throat suddenly felt softer.
"That was the rehydrator," Silat said. "It monitors your needs and applies chemicals based on what your body is trying to do, the less to damage it when you first apply your underused or fragile flesh. You had a nasty turn, Parian. A lot of people did not survive the cataclysm you went through."
Silat leaned in closer and said,
"I certainly didn't."
"What can I do for you, sir?"
Parian said, his voice raspy and frail despite the rehydrator. The capsuleer took out a small datapad and inspected its screen for a while, ignoring Parian. At last, still not looking at him, he said,
"Do you know me, crewman?"
"No, sir, but I know your name."
The capsuleer gave a mirthless smile at that.
"And what does that name mean to you?"
"You are the captain. You were the captain of the Ark of Defiance," Parian said, his throat stung. "The battleship-class vessel that I served on, sir."
"Which makes me
a capsuleer."
This was the first time Parian had seen the captain, or any other capsuleer for that matter. He found himself hoping the man would turn around at some point so Parian could see the neural socket supposedly embedded in his neck. It was a strange, silly, and stupid hope, and thus seemed entirely appropriate to the situation.
"What was the Ark's last mission?"
"You took us into dead space. Word had it you'd found another ancient gate that led to some ruins."
"Some ruins?"
"Some ruins occupied by Grista forces, sir. I expect your aim was to empty them of their valuables."
"Do you presume to know my thoughts?"
"I doubt anyone does, sir,"
Parian said, regretting it immediately. The words were an insult, but the capsuleer appeared either not to notice or accept it and not care. Silat stepped closer and leaned in slightly, regarding Parian with the kind of gaze one would a backward student.
"Do you know why you are here?"
"The Ark exploded, sir. We were ripped to shreds."
"That is what happened, yes. But that is not why you are here, in this place, at this time."
"Sir?"
The capsuleer continued in a perfectly even tone.
"I have taken it upon myself to pay for your care, for there are some questions I want answered. If the information I get is satisfactory, then you will be released from here soon enough to meet your family, friends, and surviving crew members. If they are not, then this."
He pointed at the rehydrator, whose myriad tubes were connected to Parian in places he preferred not to contemplate.
"This will pump something else into your system, and you will be extinguished like a candle. No one will ask any questions. No one will point a finger. The money I'm funneling into the upkeep of this equipment will merely be put to a slightly different use. You will be somebody's 2-hour overtime of paperwork, and then you will be expunged from this world. Do not disappoint me, crewman."
Parian swallowed. It still stung, but he welcomed the feeling, reminding him as it did that he was still alive.
"What do you want from me, sir?"
"I was in the middle of dismantling the Garista fleet and had already targeted their colonial base when my guns failed to reload. All of them. And as if that weren't bad enough, my drones decided to develop free will at that precise moment, rocketing off to fight each their separate ship in some brief, suicidal ballet. I sat there, surrounded by these little Garista flies with their tiny little poisonous stings, and I was held fast there while they sucked the life right out of me."
Silat began to pace the room.
"When one thing goes wrong, Parian, everything goes wrong. I've learned that out there. Your guns don't reload, all right, What's going to be next? Oh, it's the drones!
He raised his hands in the air, a mock expression of surprise on his beardless face.
Whatever could be the matter? Never mind. I'm sure we'll be right as rain from now on. No, hold on. What's this?
Sylat lowered his hands and glared at Parion.
Care to guess what went wrong next, crewman?
Parion closed his eyes and leaned back on his cool, soft pillow, letting it swallow him.
The escape pods.
The escape pods,
Sylat repeated as if they'd had a minor epiphany.
Not my own capsule, Parion. Not right away. Though some people with a grudge against me took care of that 2 systems later. But for the ones on that ship, those 6,000 people who worked with you, Parion, those pods didn't even last that long. Do you know how long they did last, Parion?
Parion, still lying on the pillow, was quiet. He stared at the ceiling, seeing the capsuleer only out of the corner of his vision. In that faint edge of nothing, he saw Sylat raise his hand and press something on his datapad. His throat began to burn, then his stomach and his intestines and his veins and his limbs and his face. He started to cough and thrash, gasping for air while trying to shake off the pain. It was like liquid mercury had been poured into him. He tried to tear out the tubes that stuck out of every part of his body, but either he didn't have the strength or they were simply too well affixed. Through the haze of agony, he heard,
"Wherever this path leads, crewman, you will find it much easier to traverse if you go with my guidance. Answer the question."
The burning subsided a little. Parion caught his breath again.
I heard there were a lot of the pods were destroyed right away. They were buffeted away from the ship when it exploded, but instead of heading off radar like usual, they just disintegrated. Not the outlying ones, though, with the crew and the family that had been working on non-essential tasks. Those got out safe. It was the edge pods, the ones at the core that can only leave a few seconds before the ship literally falls to pieces.
The ones where you work?
The ones where I work?
Your pod survived. So did a few others. But many hundreds of people working in the core of the ship lost their lives that day.
Parion, still waiting for the burning poison to slowly flush out of his veins, did not ask the capsuleer what he cared about the fate of his crew.
Here is the next question, and I want you to answer it honestly. What did you do to cause this?
Parion
began. He fell silent and thought for a moment.
Can I ask a question in return, sir? It'll help me answer your own.
Do it.
What possible reason could you have to think that I had anything to do with this terrible, terrible event?
Sylat moved over to Parion's bed. His head blotted out the light, casting his face into shadow.
Because I was suspicious. Because I had your books audited, yours and everyone else's. Because I paid a fortune for every life that survived the Ark's explosion to be canvassed for clues of sabotage, and eventually, as I knew they would, they led me like beacons to you.
He took out his silver planner, that instrument of truth and pain, and held it aloft.
Because the Garistas paid you for your work, you little worm.
Parion was speechless, first in amazement, then in agony.
I disabled the reload procedures.
Parion's senses began to return. He still saw stars twinkling in his vision, and the room slowly spun like a dark gray moon. He was pretty sure he'd soiled himself during one of the pain spasms, but his body was too numb to tell and he didn't dare check, lest he discover a grossly wet patch in the soft white sheets, or, even worse, that the gossamer tubes that extended from his body had been installed there as well and taken care of the problem. He said it again, like a magic ward against more pain.
I disabled the reload procedures. I'd worked a gun section often enough to know how it functioned, and it doesn't take a genius to override them, so long as you've got the access.
How did you get the access?
I used a data key from a crew member. He'd been reassigned to drone control, and I told him I needed to check on the shell integrity.
And the disabling?
It's easy enough if you've got the timing. If you know what shells are going to be last in and first out, you just damage both of them. Make the last spent shell leave something in the barrels that doesn't get cleaned up properly. Make the first one reloaded shell catch on it.
Parion took a deep breath.
And, before you ask, the drones are even easier.
Sylat stared at him for a while. The machines in the room hummed, a faint sound with a throbbing undertone like a heart beating in secret. At last, the capsuleer said,
There wasn't much to be analyzed from the wreckage, nor from the recorded signals that I received from my pod.
He walked around the room, hefting his silver datapad.
This tells me all there is to tell, but not everything I need to know. A ship is not a ship. it is an incredibly complex collection of activities bound in constant motion. It is more like an organism than a machine. There are safeguards and more safeguards, but those can't protect you forever. If someone comes along who is inventive and insightful enough, and you were, though you murdered hundreds as a result, then it is because they honestly had set themselves to the task. They needed a clarity of vision that is unique to those for whom the task has become their entire life's purpose.
Sylat looked at Parion with eyes that had seen more death than Parion ever would, and asked, for whatever reason,
"You've said how you did it. Now tell me why."
"Drugs. I was in deep."
Sylat raised the silver device, then hesitated.
"You know what this will do."
Parion kept his gaze on the capsuleer.
"It was drugs."
Sylat made as if to press something on his datapad, then hesitated, sighed, and sat on the chair next to Parion's bed.
"If you had been a drug user, you would have never gotten on my ship. Drugs are part of the eligibility scans I run before you've signed on, and those same scans are continued throughout your service to me. I know that some pilots don't care about that kind of thing, but I do, and I keep a tight ship. If the Garistas had somehow leveraged you into what you did, either to keep your supply line open or to pay back a drug loan, it would have meant you were so deeply mired that you were still an active user, and on my ship, under my command, you better learn to hold it in, because a junkie wouldn't even take a single piss without it being checked, analyzed, and flagged to the monitoring crew at once. Do you understand this?"
Parion said nothing.
"Do you understand, crewman?"
"Yeah, yes, yes, I understand."
"So drugs had nothing to do with it. Despite that, I know the Garistas were involved, because I have records that show you contacted them well before the crash. That was a mistake on your part. Whatever you were cooking up with these people, you managed to keep remarkably secret, except for that one particular message. Even the payment you received from them after the crash was almost undetectable, with only the barest traces of a connection to your own finances. You would have noticed it, I'm sure, when you started receiving interest notifications on the assets you suddenly had dominion over, but no one else would have known where to look. If I hadn't been hunting specifically for something like this, I would have never found it."
Parion, who had not blinked, stared at Sylat.
"Do you know who sent it? Who within the Garistas organization?"
"You know, that's the one last piece of mystery. It didn't originate with the Garistas military section. It came from their mining ops people, the colonists."
Parion, unblinking, gazed open-mouthed at his torturer.
"That is the end of my information,"
Sylat said, unheeding of his patient's stunned reaction.
"You're working for the enemies now, but I'm quite honestly stumped."
Sylat leaned in and said,
"There is a point where your brain knows it is about to die. Everything passes in a flash, like a dream played at hyperspeed, the whole experience tinted with that quivering fear your subconscious vomits up. That this is the last. This is the end. This is the final run before the infinite nothing. I have been cloned more times than I can recall, and this is the one part of the process that I will never, in my life of lives, get used to. So you come along and bring it on me, along with hundreds of others on my ship. You, with your cotton ball mystery, your little life that'll be extinguished with just a hint of flame, that's light as a speck of dust, and that nevertheless refuses to unravel."
He leaned back and caught his breath.
"I need to know, Parion. There's something hidden here behind your glazed and bloodshot eyes, and I want it to appear. If I do not get this, then you will not even be permitted to die quietly."
Parion thought about this. He looked at the tubes that snaked out of the machines beside him and led underneath his sheets. He looked at the white room he was in, and even at the soft white pillow he rested on. He looked back at Sylat in wonder.
"I really am nothing to you, am I? No more than those people who died. Just this one mystery. I bet the money that went into this whole setup could feed a family for a year."
"Your last chance,"
Sylat said. He did not bother to heft the remote. Parion stared at him. Then he took a deep breath and said,
"I was on your crew the day that we found the first ancient gate. It took us to a Garista mining colony that was guarded by their forces. We destroyed those ships, and any one of theirs who didn't make it into a rescue pod was not a concern of ours. They were pirates, we thought, and deserved no better. Then we turned to the colony. It would have been easy enough to disable the turrets. It really would. And to destroy the military cache that was located at the back of the complex, because that was the only one that held anything you could take. The rest of the place, all it had was people doing their jobs. but you targeted every building, and you fired the hybrids, and you blew up the colonies with everyone on them, and no escape pods, and nobody having a chance against you. I saw it all from the core of the ship, me and all the others who were in charge of the reloading and in charge of the drone control, and when God's hammer came down, we were just as much at fault as you. Something gave way in me. Some barrier I had erected came crashing down. I've been a crewman for so long now, and there was nothing special about this trip. We merely found a good location, destroyed the opposition, erased all that remained on a whim from our pilot. We took the loot, we got out. It never does matter when you're on a capsular ship. You go where he takes you. You load, he locks. Whatever's on the screen is only in your way. Even a colony full of workers and families whose sole misfortune was to be on the other side. They forfeit their existence through happenstance. By the sheer dint of falling under the gaze of an immortal and his followers, they do not deserve to live any longer. All these lives fit for nothing but death and ruin. Parian stopped, swallowed. The gossamer threads moistened his throat. There was no other sound in the room but the thrumming heartbeat of the machines. Parian continued,
I wanted to kill you for that, Sylad.
But you were just one person, and I didn't think I would ever reach you. If I had the strength right now and the bravery, I would reach out and I would throttle you. But even if I went after you, there would be revenge. My entire family, distant as it might be, and anyone I'd ever befriended, they would all die. Besides, you're just the one crazy top of the tree. You're like a child with a toy. I'm not even sure you're all there. Everyone like you is a frightening mystery. Not loved, but the people that enabled you, the ones that kept everything running. We went out drinking afterward, bragging about the destruction. The crew I worked with who did not benefit in the slightest from this and did it anyway, allowing you your crazy stunts. They needed to die.
You know there were many of your crew members who had nothing to do with the attack or its mechanics. Parian closed his eyes, breathed deep, then continued as if there had been no interruption.
When I got in from that mission, I felt like a ghost. I talked to some people I know who dealt in crime, and I asked that a message be relayed to somebody with the Garistas. A person who would know the colony we just destroyed and could relay the stupid empty words I sent them. It was an apology. I sent a brief message telling them who I was and who I worked for, and I said I was sorry. I did not give them any of the information, not about my financial accounts, about the ship's movements, nothing. They must have tracked me, and the money they paid speaks for itself, but I did not do it for them or anything they could offer. In the end, what happened on the Ark's last trip, and I was supposed to be one of the losses, but I guess my pod didn't break, was simply me trying to make amends with the world.
Sylad sat and stared at him. So you sabotaged the pods and led the ship to destruction? Parian nodded. Sylad thought for a moment and then stood up. I was going to kill you, but that's no longer a role I can play. I should add that if you had truly meant to make amends, you would have ensured that you would die in the crash. The fact that you did not may mean something, or nothing. Perhaps you wanted to play a vengeful god. Perhaps you merely wanted to know how it feels to be one of the immortals. I have no interest in finding out.
Parian leaned back on the pillow.
Just end it, he said.
The capsuleer ignored him.
Since you took it upon yourself to be the judge, jury, and executioner on behalf of the Garistas, it's only right and proper that the ones who lost their own loved ones due to your actions get a say in your own fate.
He pulled out the silver data pad and entered a message, then said,
So, your stay here is at an end. I suggest that you start removing those tubes. It'll be painful, but better than what awaits you if you don't hurry.
What?
Parian said.
I don't associate much with your kind, but I'm told the spaceship crew are a tough bunch of people. I've just sent the gist of this conversation to one of the crew foremen. He doesn't waste time during missions, so I imagine he's already making calls and rounding up people.
Sylad put the datapad back in his pocket and headed to the door. Before leaving, he turned to Parian and smiled.
The acolytes are coming, you little god of destruction. You will want to run now.
This concludes today's episode of All These Lives Are Fit to Ruin. Thank you for listening. If you are interested in learning more about the rich history of the EVE universe, please visit the EVE Chronicles site at community.eveonline.com/background/POTW. Copyright information regarding the Chronicles in this podcast may be found at evereader.org/copyright.html. No Serpentis were harmed during the making of this show.